And as you feel comfortable, I invite you to please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Eternal and all-merciful God, with all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
So we formed a little quartet, and some wonderful people in the quartet. We have Krista, and we have leading the quartet is Marta, and then my wife Kathy, and then I'll be the low bass part. So this is by Rhonda Vincent, who is a bluegrass artist, and it's called Fishers of All.
Rise and follow me, I'll make you worthy. Rise and follow me, I'll make you fishers of all. Rise and follow me, I'll make you worthy. Rise and follow me, I'll make you fishers of all. Peter, John, and James could never be the same after they heard him say, I'll make you fishers of all.
He said,
rise and follow me, I'll make you worthy. Rise and follow me, I'll make you fishers of all. Rise and follow me, I'll make you worthy. Rise and follow me, I'll make you fishers of all. Cast your nets aside and join the battle's tide. He will be your guide to make you fishers of all.
He said,
rise and follow me, I'll make you worthy. Rise and follow me, I'll make you fishers of all.
He said,
rise and follow me, I'll make you worthy. Rise and follow me, I'll make you fishers of all. Jesus bore the cross to gather in the lost. Oh, what a mighty cost to set us free from sin.
He said,
rise and follow me, I'll make you worthy. Rise and follow me, I'll make you fishers of all.
He said,
rise and follow me, I'll make you worthy. Rise and follow me, I'll make you fishers of all.
A reading from Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He answered, who are you, Lord? The reply came, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. He answered, here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and rulers and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days, Saul was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." Word of God, word of life.
The gospel is a longer text, so I invite you to remain seated. This is the gospel according to John, the 21st chapter. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and then he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Simon Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to Jesus, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." This is the Holy Gospel. Thanks to you, O Christ. All right, I'm going to be honest. This is not the sermon I wanted to preach. I mean, you got this story of Saul who becomes Paul. You know, that's the same person, right? Eventually, he will go through a name change, which often happens when there's this dynamic change between our relationship with God. Sometimes we get a new name. And with this history of his leadership and this staunch religious manner as a Pharisee, his willingness to actually enter into violence on behalf of his convictions, this is the guy that God is calling to be a leader for the church. I mean, Paul had carried so much animosity towards those who were choosing a different path. I mean, actual hatred toward those who were following Jesus' way, and he was having them killed for it. Now, if Saul is going to be called to be a leader of the church, as we were discussing in Bible and Brew, our weekly Bible study, as we discussed in Bible and Brew, we imagined that this story must be one rich in forgiveness. And I have to tell you, that is the sermon I wanted to preach. A sermon that is rich in forgiveness, where we can talk about how forgiveness has transformed Saul's life and he becomes Paul and this great leader of the church. You even have in today's gospel, Peter, right? The story of Peter and Jesus and how this total goofball who always messes things up gets another chance, right? Jesus invites him again and again. The man who actually puts on clothes to jump in the water. That's never made sense to me. And in the end, Peter denies Jesus three times, right? And now Jesus is inviting him to serve. Surely, if we are preaching a sermon on this story with Peter at the center, it would be a sermon on forgiveness. And I would really love to preach one of those sermons. But then I really sat with the texts, with the stories of these two men. And it occurred to me, nowhere in either story does Jesus focus on forgiveness. Did you notice that? Not with Paul, who's been killing people. Not with Peter, who basically disowned his best friend. Jesus doesn't walk either one of them through a gauntlet of reconciliation. He simply stops them in their tracks and asks them a question. Paul, why do you persecute me? Peter, do you love me? No conditions are placed on them. Just an interruption and an invitation to serve. Paul, get up and go listen to this guy, Ananias, for you are the instrument whom I have chosen. Peter, tend my sheep, feed my lambs, follow me. No big explanations, no elaborate orientations, no making sure that they really feel sorry, just the command. I wanted to preach a sermon on forgiveness, but I sensed this push from our blessed Holy Spirit to do something else. She gave me no big explanations, no elaborate orientations. I just engaged the scripture, and somehow it was clear to me this sermon needs to be about God's desire to tell us what to do. Some of you are already getting a bit twitchy, and I must say I'm with you. But some of you, I'm just going to hasten, some of you probably have thought or even prayed, God, just tell me what to do, right? We've been there perhaps, but I have to say those words are usually uttered when we feel lost, without direction. It's not the context I'm talking about here. It's more about God entering into our status quo, about God entering into our lives when we are having moments of expertise and deep wisdom, like Paul's leadership as a Pharisee protecting the Jewish faith, right? Moments when we are sure of our direction, God interrupts. And early I said that God invites. I think I was just softening it a little bit, trying to make it sound friendly. God doesn't actually invite. Jesus commands. In my experience, there is a deep aversion to being told what to do. Am I right? We don't like it. If we're told how to live, if we're told what to believe, to quote my very first sentence that I uttered as a child, do it self, mommy. We want to figure it out. We don't want to be told. Just give me some space and I'm going to do it my way. You can ask my husband, I am a nonconformist at best. And stubborn. You know, you call me strong-willed. It's different. And if the thought of being told what to do irks your leanings toward self-definition, I feel you. And frankly, in these two stories, Jesus' commands are not only telling them what to do, but he's pretty clear. He's telling them also, by the way, I not only need you to do this, but there's going to be some suffering along the way. Paul will be showed how much he must suffer in Jesus' name. And Peter will be taken to places that he does not wish to go, like prison and his own death. So where's the good news, people? If I'm a preacher worth my spit, there's got to be good news. In a sermon on forgiveness, I can say God loves you. Your failings are no longer held against you. God loves you. By God's grace, you are free. God loves you. Just throw that in extra, right? Great to preach a sermon on forgiveness, but in a sermon on God telling us what to do, I can say, do what God says. And that's all. Or is it? Thankfully, I was visited by a dear friend today as I was pondering this question. And I'll give you a shout out through snaps, maybe. I've been fighting with the sermon. I really have. And I'm thinking, like, where's the good news? I do not like being told what to do. I mean, much like I fight any sort of expectation placed on me without my permission, I resent being told what to do. Don't tell me what to do, I seethe. And some days I still think I'm sort of this teenager-like person of faith who's convinced I've got it all figured out and who really doesn't need their divine parent looking in on me. Thank you very much. And then I remember my parents' voices on their best days as parents. Sometimes the words have come from mentors, sometimes friends. Often from my personal trainer that I worked out with for years, mostly just because of how she helped me feel internally, not just physically. She would say to me frequently, Melinda, you are stronger than you think. Words that people have spoken to us like, you got this. I believe in you. I know you can do this. We need your leadership. Yes, this is going to be hard, but it is so worth it. And if you take this next hard step, many people are going to benefit from it. Just as we close here, I want you to imagine a person who you know that really believes in you. Somebody that believes in you. Somebody who loves you, trusts you. This person really wants you to be the best version of yourself. Do you have somebody in mind? Now, I want you to imagine them telling you, I think you should do fill in the blank, whatever it is. I mean, if it is indeed this person who loves and trusts us, who believes in us and helps us to become the best versions of ourselves, if this person tells us that they think we should do something, we're going to lean into that request, right? For generations, people have turned God into this scary, demanding figure, and I'm tired of it. It's time to put that image in the grave where it belongs. I'm not saying Jesus' commands aren't hard. I'm not saying that if you make the right choices, then your life is going to be pain-free. But I will say this. God does not linger over how imperfect we are. We are already forgiven. And instead, we are invited. No, we are commanded to action. To do something, to serve. Please, please hear God saying in these commands, you got this. I believe in you. The leadership that you bring is so necessary right now. Please use the gifts that you've been given. And if you do this hard thing that I'm commanding you, your life and the lives of people around you will thrive. Amen. I invite you to turn to hymn number 773. Precious Lord, take my hand and let us stand for the singing. You may be seated. Trusting in the love of the Spirit and the promise of renewal, we pray for those gathered here and for all around the world. Each petition will end with the words, God of abundance, and you're invited to respond in saying, receive our prayers. God, fill us this day with trust in your vision for our lives. Let us find peace in the parts of our lives that are out of our control, and assure us that you will guide our way, be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In quiet moments of doubt, give us good courage to follow your way. God of abundance, receive our prayers. Spirit of Reformation, challenge our thoughts and deeds. Nudge us out of our stagnant ways and into vibrant life. Bless us as we take steps to create a more loving and just world. God of abundance, receive our prayers. Creator, bless all of creation with your protection. Watch over those who are affected by climate change. Bless those who work to be loving stewards of creation. Inspire us to take care of the valley that we call home. God of abundance, receive our prayers. Source of life, we give you thanks for your steadfast presence in our lives. Comfort us in times of pain, and let us remember that your love endures forever. Extend your care to those who suffer as a result of hatred and violence. Hold us all in your love. God of abundance, receive our prayers. Holy One, we thank you for the gift of people gathered here this day. We ask that you bless our brothers from Tanzania and that they would go home refreshed from the time and community here among us. Bless us this week as we refresh our home for this spring season. As we renew spaces, let our spirits also be renewed. God of abundance. For all things spoken out loud and all things left in our hearts, we entrust our prayers to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Okay, I'm going to invite you to share the peace, but here's the deal. Wait for somebody to do this. I know we tend to be a hugging community, but if they do this, don't grab hold of them. You shake their hand. And if you'd really rather not participate in the peace, you may remain seated, and that's cool too. All right, the peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take a moment to share a word of peace with one another. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Thank you. Peace be with you. God's peace be with you. Peace be with you. Thank you. God's peace. Thank you. Peace be with you. I love listening to you read. I do. Peace be with you. Thank you. Thank you. Peace be with you. Thank you.
Love your sermon.
Thank you. Thank you. Peace be with you. Thank you. Oh, I'm feeling a little back scratch. Peace be with you. Thank you. Peace be with you. Nice to see you. Hey, peace be with you, Dylan. Did you get that Easter egg?
Yes, I did.
Okay, awesome. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Totally fine. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Peace.
Peace be with you. Thank you. Peace be with you. Thank you. God's peace. Peace be with you. Thank you for singing. It was gorgeous. Peace be with you.
Okay. Two sermons in a row I'm staying awake at.
That's yes!
We'll
take them both. Oh my gosh, so cool. Yeah, it was really good.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. You're welcome. And thanks for helping with communion, too. Thank you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Nice to see you again. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right.
Peace be with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to see you again. Peace be with you. Welcome back. Thank you. I know, it's a little bit pinker than last time. Peace be with you. Thank you. Peace be with you. I'm like, I've started the circle. I'm like, peace afterwards. Yes, please. My peace was amplified. Sorry. We continue to worship now with our tithes and offerings. Do I have some folks that are willing to help the baskets go around? We got bread and wine coming. I gave them short notice, so this one's on me. Thank you. I switched up the liturgy this week, so I just need the bread and the wine. The rest of it can wait. Thank you. Giving directions was never my forte. Thank you, thank you. Bless you. Thanks. Is there wine coming? What? They're drinking it in the back? I hope not. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. You guys are the best. All right. The love of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea. Within each cell and with every breath, let the people say, "We praise you, O God. We praise you, O God." Generations bless your faithfulness through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, and into the future. Let the people say, "We bless you, O God."
We bless you, O God.
We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, and with us now. And let us say, "We thank you, O God." In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. Oh, yep, we're spilling all over the place. It was really full. It's a sign of God's abundance. Thank you. Thank you. Again, after supper, he took the cup. I'm normally not this scattered, I promise. After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." We pray for the gift of your Spirit and our gathering within this meal among your people throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Jesus Christ, by your Spirit, in your church, and without end. I invite you now to join in singing with me the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day
are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Please know that all are welcome to this table, for it is Jesus' table, and he is the host, and he's the one that invites you to come. We try to make sure that there are no dietary barriers between you and this feast, so the first station will have gluten-free wafers. Then I'm going to have bread, and I can tear off a piece of that for you. Next will come a common cup, and you have two options. You can drink out of it, or if you prefer to dip your piece of bread in the common cup, you can do that. Otherwise, we'll have cups, and then the first pitcher will be wine, and the second pitcher will be grape juice, and then finally there'll be a basket for your empty cup. So again, please come forward as you feel comfortable. And if you wish not to take communion but still want to come forward for a blessing, you can just kind of come up with your hands crossed, your chest, and I would love to offer you a blessing as well. All has been prepared. You are invited to come for this meal. Okay. Yeah, so you'll be first in the And then who's doing the common cup? You. So you guys just leave a space in between you for me. This is wine. You'll be right there. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you.
feast. We come to the hungry feast, last verse, third verse.
Thank you.
And now may the fullness of Jesus Christ strengthen you and hold you in grace. Amen. Amen. Let us stand to sing the post-communion canticle. Living God, you have greeted us in our brokenness and nourished us with the body of Christ. Risen to new life with you, send us now to bear your healing love into the wounded world. In the name of our risen Savior, amen. The blessing of the living God, Creator, Savior, and Spirit surround and sustain you, keep you from harm, and fill you with courage. Amen. And just because I love it, we're going to sing it one more time. We used to do this with like a whole band. Filled with the Spirit. Loved by Christ and called into the world. Go in peace, share the good news. Thanks be to God.